news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Afghanistan is once again under Taliban control. The United States has spent 20 years there. We lost more than 2,400 troops in Afghanistan, along with around another 3,400 contractors. More than 20,000 Americans were injured, and that's on top of tens of thousands of Afghans who were killed and wounded. To add insult to injury, our two decades in Afghanistan cost the American taxpayers more than $1 trillion. President Biden said that the Afghan military, built and trained and financed to the tune of $80 billion by the U.S., should have been able to step up and defend themselves, but they just dissolved in a few days. Biden sent more troops back, it's 6,000 there now, to evacuate Americans and thousands of Afghan allies who are in danger from the resurgent Taliban. On Sunday, the Taliban took Kabul and the presidential palace. All commercial flights out of the main airport have stopped, and there are reports of violence there. Other countries are scrambling to get their citizens and personnel out of the country as well, and the U.S. has completely evacuated the embassy, the final act taking down the flag. Now, although the end came quickly, this whole situation follows a long U.S. troop drawdown in Afghanistan, which experts predicted would lead to a Taliban resurgence. President Biden is expected to brief the nation soon. Meanwhile, the former Oval Office occupant is the one who negotiated for the total withdrawal of U.S. troops from Afghanistan with the Taliban. He even wanted to bring Taliban officials to Camp David. Rather than defend his part in this mess, Trump released a statement that his press person tweeted out because he's still not allowed on Twitter. It read, quote, "It is time for Joe Biden to resign in disgrace. It shouldn't be a big deal because he wasn't elected legitimately in the first place." Oh, come on. You know, the RNC deleted an entire page from its website that touted Donald Trump's, quote, "historic peace agreement with Afghanistan." Silly Republicans. Don't they know the internet is forever? Someone should tell the orange one, too. As his statement from April 18th is still out there, it reads, quote, "I wish Joe Biden wouldn't use September 11th as the date to withdraw our troops from Afghanistan for two reasons. First, we can and should get out earlier. 19 years is enough. In fact, far too much and way too long. I made early withdrawal possible by already pulling much of our billions of dollars of equipment out and, more importantly, reducing our military presence to less than 2,000 troops from the 16,000 level that was there. Likewise in Iraq, and zero troops in Syria except for the area where we, in all caps, kept the oil." He continued, "Secondly, September 11th represents a very sad event and period for our country and should remain a day of reflection and remembrance honoring those great souls we lost." And then he finishes by saying, "Getting out of Afghanistan is a wonderful and positive thing to do. I plan to withdraw on May 1st, and we should keep as close to that schedule as possible." Just want to let that sink in for a second. Moving on to hell on earth. Yeah, I know it could describe Afghanistan right now, but it more accurately describes Haiti, where more than 1,300 people have died and thousands more are injured and missing after a 7.2 magnitude earthquake struck Haiti on Saturday. Hospitals are overwhelmed with patients, roads are blocked, making it difficult to move medical supplies and personnel to where they're needed most. Tens of thousands of homes have been destroyed or damaged, making recovery even more difficult, if not impossible. Haiti was already in crisis before this earthquake as it dealt with the assassination of its president last month, and of course, ongoing struggles with food insecurity, political instability, and then there's the pandemic. And now Grace threatens the island nation. Yep, Tropical Depression Grace is taking aim at the island of Hispaniola. Haiti shares it with Dominican Republic. The entire island is under a tropical storm watch. Grace is expected to bring heavy rains and flooding through Tuesday and could be a devastating complication after this weekend's earthquake. Now, Grace is only one of three tropical storms swirling around in the Atlantic off the East Coast. There's Tropical Depression 8 spinning near Bermuda, which will likely strengthen to Tropical Storm Henri in the next few days. and Tropical Storm Fred threatening Florida's panhandle with 50-mile-per-hour winds. Schools in the panhandle are closed. Landfall is expected sometime Monday afternoon or evening. Fred should bring dangerous storm surges, river flooding, and possible tornadoes when it reaches the coast. Fun times. By the way, speaking of schools in Florida, Ron DeSantis is doubling down, now pushing treatment of hospitalized COVID patients with monoclonal antibodies. The problem is, these treatments cost a lot of money. They're not simple to administer, and DeSantis is still banning mask mandates and any kind of vaccine passport in the state of Florida. And since he threatened to withhold funding for any school districts that mandate masks, the Biden administration has already said they'd make up for any lost funds. And it's not only Florida. In Texas, the all-Republican Supreme Court on Sunday temporarily revived the governor's ban on local mask mandates there, thwarting attempts by officials in Dallas and Bexar counties to implement COVID-19 restrictions as kids go back to school. The justices granted Abbott's request for an emergency stay that blocks lower court decisions allowing officials in those counties to require masks in schools or indoor spaces. The Delta variant is changing all the rules we learned from the initial COVID-19 outbreak. Hospitalizations for people in their 30s have reached a record high in the U.S. It's the latest evidence that the Delta variant poses big risks for younger age groups. Hospitalizations for children also hit record highs over the weekend. And finally, more relief for struggling families. The Biden administration is expected to announce sometime Monday the largest permanent increase to food assistance benefits in history. Under these new rules, which will take effect in October, average food stamp benefits will increase by more than 25% over pre-pandemic levels, rising by $36 to $121 monthly per person. All 42 million beneficiaries will receive an increase in benefits. And these changes don't need approval from Congress either. Unlike other new spending intended to help people through the pandemic, these added benefits are permanent. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack said the program provided a safety net and its $79 billion annual cost helps stabilize our democracy. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.